I am honored to have this experience of fellowship and service with you. I have an impression, Bill Hogue, a very distinct impression, that this company meeting together these days are together, are cooperative, with many approaches in reaching men and women for Jesus Christ in and through a New Testament church. And this is wholesome indeed. And I'm proud to be a part of this experience with you. My life has been richly blessed, and I want to stay as long as possible and be enriched as we come together on other occasions this afternoon and this evening. I want to speak to you this afternoon on the theme, Wanted Dynamic Disciples. And I have a feeling that we are together with this goal and this objective as we make various approaches to the end that we may witness, make disciples, and teach them to observe, to practice, to obey what Jesus would have us to accomplish. I also have a conviction there is a real priority in making disciples, which is an outreach, which is essential. Then, too, there is this priority to continue to develop disciples of Christian maturity. And with these two thrusts, we can build great New Testament churches. In most every window, I think whether it is there or not, we would find this theme of wanted dynamic disciples. It is a militant minority like we have here, not the massive majority that God can use to accomplish His kingdom. Now there are four things I want to say to you. I want to place them on your mind and lay them on your heart, but I do not want to ram them down your throats. But I want you to think with me, possibly, as we think of these areas. And the first is discovering or viewing discipleship in the New Testament. And I think this is very basic and important. Then second, the implications for disciple life today from the New Testament, as we have seen it and will see it in just a moment. And third, overcoming in positive fashion some of the difficulties or failures that we have discovered along the way to the end that we may develop dynamic disciples to magnify and witness for Jesus Christ and render an account of their stewardship to God. Then a fourth I want you to see with me this afternoon, and that is some of the contributions that church training 2 million strong or weak that can make to developing dynamic disciples in the 1,000 churches in this state and 400,000 Baptists being used to accomplish the objective that we have in mind. First, some of the requirements, and there are 6 of these, and I'd like for you to get them as a basis as we move quickly today to a conclusion regarding the contributions that church training can make, is making, and will make, and I have something very interesting and stimulating to share with you for church training tomorrow. A disciple is a believer. One day the multitude asked Jesus a very pertinent question, you will remember. What must we do to be doing the work of God? And in John 6, 28, 27, he said, "This is the work of God, that ye believe in him whom he has sent." Jesus made this the initial requirement, which we are well aware. In short, we cannot live the life unless we know the man. A second, a disciple is a follower. And we have heard that and will continue to hear it until the conclusion of this convention. Jesus called his disciples by a commanding invitation. He said, "Follow me, He said to Peter and Andrew, and he said to Philip, follow me. He used the same words to Matthew. Fellowship is not optional. It is imperative. Even though we have busy schedules, we must follow Jesus Christ. A disciple is a doer. Jesus did not picture a disciple as a believer and a follower and let him stand around. He is one who believes and follows and acts. As Jesus was in the disciple, Jesus preached, he taught, and he healed. And he said, my Father is working still, and I am working too. To his disciples, he says, we must work the works of him who sent me. Discipleship is a verb which carries with it action. And he expects us, his disciples, to match his pace. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant to be like his master, said Jesus. For a disciple is a learner. In the great passage in Matthew 11, 28 and 30, Jesus invites the tired and troubled to come to him. He also says, you remember, take up my yoke and follow me. They were ear witnesses. They were eye witnesses. And they learned the supreme allegiance of giving priority to the devotion of Jesus Christ and his cause. They learned who is important. And as been pointed out, we learn to pray. We learn true freedom because sin enslaves. True freedom is founded in Jesus Christ. We learn to forgive and we learn many, many spiritual things. A fifth, very quickly. A disciple is a sharer. A Christian disciple is a sharer of God's love with others. God's love is like electricity. It cannot enter a person unless it can pass through. In Matthew 28:36-40, Jesus answered the question, what is the great commandment? And you remember he said, ye shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Love begins at home and moves out to help other people. And a last requirement which ought to give implications a bit further. A disciple is a teller. After Jesus had healed the demoniac, you remember, the man made a request and he wanted to go with Jesus, but he said in Luke 8:39, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. This is involvement, as we talked about this morning. All of this is involvement. We are to act and we are to tell and we are to share and we are to do these things in order to meet the requirements as found in the teachings of God's Word. Now, second, I want us to see three things quickly as we move along. Disciple life for today, based upon the admonition that we find in the teachings of God's Word. Frequently, this term has been left out, as you well know. It has applications, it seems to me, in three specific areas. The dynamic disciple must be conversant with the Master's teachings. These teachings, their meaning, and their relevance for today. God is never honored with human ignorance in today's world. The disciple must know his Master and be fiercely devoted to him personally. The disciple in the New Testament is conscious of a new experience in Christ, of a new relation with God, a new joy, and a new outlook in life. This is the carryover for disciple life today. These are a part of the Christian experience in the day in which we live. A third, we have already learned that the genuine disciple shares the Master's redemptive mission and his compassion ministry. Jesus explained the fact. We find that it took place in the early church, and it is sorely needed in the day in which we live. God is ever shaping our lives of His children in the mold of His Son. It demands our very best. And this cannot be accomplished making disciples, teaching to observe the outreach, the inreach, the Christian maturity. This is a lifetime work for all those who name the name of Jesus. A third, overcoming some of these failures and these difficulties along the way. A Methodist nurse, and I refer to our speaker this morning, and a Baptist pastor were engaged in a fleeting, Carter conversation. And the nurse said, "I have some Baptist friends, some neighbors," she said, "who are poor Christians. They seldom go to church, and they have a lot of sorry habits. The Methodists say they have fallen from grace. But you do not say that because you do not believe that. But you do believe in backsliding, don't you?" said she. And quickly, this Baptist pastor said, "We don't advocate it, but we certainly practice it." And that is so true, and we want to overcome it. And we're fast moving to overcome it. The question is, can we accept our poor record as we look at it? Many, many good things have taken place, but we must be honest when we think of all that we have won, and what they could do to advance the cause of Christ, and also as they render an account of their stewardship to God. We cannot ignore the problems that prevail. Now, all of these people here this week are giving suggestions, and they are converging on target, and we work together to the end that more and more people may be one, and these that are one may grow up in the faith. Some of these failures that I would call to your attention, it may be the fault of the church, it may be the fault of the preacher, the evangelist, the member, it may be the fault of the person themselves, and all of this converges upon us today. We need to do something about it, and we are doing something about it. It's a little like my son in Fort Worth. We were asked to bring our children to the worship service at 4 years of age. We agreed to do so in our family. We had a four-year-old. We brought Joe the first Sunday. He marched up and down both aisles. The second Sunday, the two aisles in front, back, to our amazement. And the third Sunday, Miriam said to me, "He's your son. Next Sunday, if he does this, you ought to know what to do." And I said, "I understand." So I said, "Joe, if you do this next Sunday, I'm going to spank you. Is this clear?" "Yes, sir, Daddy. This is clear." On my scout honor, the next Sunday, he combined every one of those activities the previous Sundays to fullest and excellent fashion. We went home. They went on the inside, Miriam and Nancy and Jim, and left me all alone with Joe. I looked at him, and he looked at me, and I said, "Joe, you know what's going to happen?" "Yes, sir, Daddy." And I said, "I'm going to spank you." And then the tears began to come into his eyes, and he said to me, he said, "Daddy," he said, "you know, I want to be a better boy." Something happened to my cold, hard heart as I looked at him, and I thought we ought to have a father and son dialogue, a confrontation, and we began to discuss it. And after a little while, the tears came coming down his cheeks, and he said, "Daddy," he said, "will you help me to be a better boy? Now, whether I spank that boy or not, it's just none of your business." I am saying to you, every person who names the name of Jesus desires to be a better person. And it is the responsibility of all of us in here, every member of every church, and especially the church under the leadership of the pastor and other leaders, to make it possible for him to mature in the Christian faith. We're talking about these contributions that lead to failure, a singleness of heart and purpose characterize the authentic Christian as he follows his Lord and matures in the faith and becomes a dynamic disciple. Double-minded persons, unstable in their ways, cannot and will not make dynamic disciples. Idolatry always challenges true religious faith and splinters religious loyalties. Our people are pro-God, but they do not exclusively serve Him. It is not that we're non-believers and we are anti-God, but it is our devotion to Him. Do we not have church members who do not want to stay all the way on the outside, nor do they want to get on the inside and give their hearts and lives to the thing that God would have them to give them to? Sheer neglect is another reason for failure to become dynamic disciples. This accounts for many discipleship failures. Some neglect may be due to ignorance, not wickedness. A person may not know the full dimension of the Christian life. He has not been taught in the areas and the lines of growth. Neglect, sheer neglect I'm talking about. Neglect of regular communication with God. Neglect of the Scripture, neglect of worship and fellowship. These are contributions that accounts for a spiritual enigma and moral stupor at the personal level. There is a third. Discipleship failures are simply failures of character, which we've had depicted to us. Money and fame, possessions get before us and between us. And these cannot take place if we are to be dynamic disciples. We remain pygmies. We remain Bantam Christians unless we mature in the faith. As we deal with these, it seems to me we have two thrusts, and pray to God we'll not take the first because it is not productive. We can prune out the dead wood out of our ranks. Do not tolerate evil men. Forget them. Eliminate them. Get rid of them. Discipline like this is not for our day and not for Southern Baptist leaders who desire to grow militant and dynamic disciples. But the right one, it seems to me, is a pastoral, brotherly stance that seeks to restore the person, as Bill Hogue presented to us this morning, who has failed, who is mediocre, or who is average. Never did Jesus deal with Simon Peter like that. We can sense His love and His forgiveness. We are in the renewing, the restoring, the reconciling, the rehabilitating, the revitalizing, and the refinishing of people who are rightly related to God through Christ. This is our job. And God help us to get busy with it. We are devising plans. We trust all under God to mobilize our forces in order to bring His kingdom into this day in which we live. There is a fourth I want you to see in these moments, and I'd like for you to hear me. I'd like for you to choose. We have 12 million Southern Baptists, 35,000 churches. You have 1,000 churches, and you have 400,000 people in these churches. Jesus established the church, and we want to use His people. God wants to use them in ways that are pleasing to Him. Our purpose in church training is to develop or train dynamic disciples who can live in today's world and work through today's church and meet the needs of today's people. We are entering into an era with 3-year thrust. Expressing or exploring discipleship, expressing discipleship, experiencing discipleship with materials of all kind, and we hope they're bathed with the Spirit of God as our people get hold of them and use them to the fullest. We have a line in a church and it needs to be utilized. Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, any time that we can equip the saints to do the work of ministry is our job. Now, we have some materials, all kinds of materials. New member orientation. Every one of these new Christians deserves a good beginning. We do not have all, but we're striving to move in a right direction. For example, this material produced in 65 and then other materials, 1-4 session unit 113, on the Lordship of Christ, making disciples by decision, by practice, the Holy Spirit with biblical materials to begin with, the Holy Spirit in our salvation, in our lives, in our surrender, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the basis for receiving the fullness and the condition for receiving the fullness, the church covenant, the doctrines of our faith. We believe, behave, and become the Baptist faith and message in the heart of all of this. My life and my church establishing a biblical foundation, your past life, your present life, your future life, understanding my church, its mission, its purpose, its pastor, its deacons, its objective, and my responsibility in that church, and a primary one, is to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to make disciples. This is new member orientation. I invite you to look at it. And if we can improve it, I pledge to you with all that we are and all that we can become, we'll move to improve it. We have materials in church training. It isn't BYPU, it isn't BTU, it is church training, striving to reach out and accomplish what God would have us with people who have been rightly related to God through Christ. I took all of the materials, and I have access to the materials now and these that are coming for the next 3 years. This is what I found. There are units in Baptist youth and adults that would stimulate you so that we can make dynamic disciples. There's a 4-session unit in youth responsible discipleship, ABCs of discipleship, a 4-session unit, and we're giving not only attention to knowledge and wisdom and understanding, but developing skills, changing of attitudes, and putting it into operation. Laboratory experience and putting it into operation. Follow through to the end that we may experience what God would have us to experience. A unit on discipleship, being a discipleship, discipleship my calling, new decade, new discipleship in adults, training of the 12, training of the disciples, what Jesus said, go make disciples. Christ chose us for service, disciples in action. We are disciples, trained to minister. These are materials developed by the finest people that we can find. And I hope we can enlist some of you to help in this. This is church training today. Now tomorrow will be even more glorious. Could I have your attention for just 2 or 3 moments? I'm going to unveil something to you that will wake you up and shock you and help you to see that we mean business as God speaks to us and uses us. Al almost ruined my speech. Just 1 year ago, the trustees, through Dr. Cawthon, told us to get busy with a project in which we would take innovative approaches to meeting the needs of church training. It was voted, and we are moving in a pilot project which we are called the Equipping Centers. The Equipping Centers include areas of evangelism and doctrine and leadership and family ministry. And I'm prepared to tell you what we are doing in 200 churches, and I hope we can come to you even before this pilot project is concluded so that Val may latch on to it and get some experience in the churches and make it a national program. The objective was that we have the ongoing program with the Equipping Center. The ongoing program is discipleship development. The Equipping Center is these 4 seminars. Now, something more than seminars in this one. We went back to a personal theology. Skills for Christian living and skills for church leadership. In this, we used a number of approaches. The seminar approach, which is a teacher and a group, a small group approach, one-to-one approach, individual approach, and a combination of any of these, not just a quarterly. I will show you. We begun with 6 months materials in which we had a box of materials, 19 of these, 2 leader guides, and we used the first 6 months, The Reluctant Witness by Ken Chaffin. We had a cassette, Evangelism and the Modern Mood, 3 pads of worksheets, 1 individual study guide, and 1 film clip, The Christian Comforter. This, with many innovations, for the first 6 months in these churches in the adult area. The next 6 months, we are training Sunday school teachers in leadership area. But I'm magnifying the evangelism area to which we are giving attention with the idea of helping our churches do the job with all kinds of materials available all along with this quarterly. In the next 6 months, we are going to have materials for youth. And in the adult area, the evangelism equipping a center, one of these modules, we're calling it our box of materials, is called Lifestyle Evangelism. We are working closely with the Evangelism Division of the Home Mission Board. They helped to develop, they did develop this material. For example, we're having Bill Hogue's book, Love Leaves No Choice. And this module leads participants to evaluate contemporary patterns of evangelism, identify variable approaches to evangelistic activity, and confirm the concept of lifestyle evangelism for personal lives. This box or this module introduces a plan for scriptural memorization related to Christian growth and development. A book, a tape, a record, all kinds of tests, anything that is needed through the approach, individual approach, one-to-one approach, a teacher and a group, or a small group, or any combination in order for real learning, motivation, and projecting into life. We're on the move. We are willing and we are ready. And church training must begin on Sunday night. And we have it there, but it must continue and move on out and meet the training needs of Southern Baptists at any time and any place they so desire. And to this end, we are committed. Yes, Southern Baptists need more dynamic disciples to share the good news and also to build great New Testament churches so that we may continue in this process along the way. The time is short. And I close. In John Hopkins Courtyard, there is a sundial. And on that sundial, it says, "The only hour which you hold in your hand is the hour on which the shadow stands." Now is the time for each of us, a militant minority, who can move a massive majority to be and to do what God would have them to be and to do in this day in which we live. Do you know what God is saying to us? No matter what others are doing, my friend, or what they're leaving undone, I am counting on you to keep on with the job till the very last individual is won. Yes, others may work and others may shirk, but remember, I am counting on you. So be it. God bless you, and may He count on you and count on me to be and to lead in a concept of dynamic disciples in California that continues, yea, to the end of the earth. This is my prayer in Jesus' name.